Hello, welcome to Tay to Z, where we chat about every Taylor Swift song in alphabetical order. I'm Devin.
And I'm Gab, and we will be your hosts on this journey. In our last episode, we talked about Teardrops on My Guitar from Taylor Swift.
So good. And today, we are discussing the song Is It Over Now? From 1989, Taylor's version from the vault. Taylor's version's here, and we have the vault songs.
Very exciting.
And so it begins.
Here we go.
Is It Over Now is the 21st track on 1989 Taylor's version.
The Taylor's versions always crack me up with how many tracks
so many.
There are.
So many.
1989 was originally released on October 27th, 2014. And Taylor's version was released on October 27, 2023.
Yeehaw.
This song was co-written by our guy, Jack Antonoff.
Mm-hmm.
As of this recording, it has already peaked at number one on the Billboard Hot 100. Really?
Yeah, as of 6 hours ago.
My God.
Isn't that
That's
wild?
So exciting. That's so cool.
Yeah.
Wow.
Is It Over Now is pretty much brand spanking new, so it has not been played live yet, but I am going to take a wild guess that it will be played pretty early on the international leg of the tour as a surprise song.
And she starts this week.
Yeah.
Wow.
So it could be this week, for all we know.
Wow, we start back up again. That's
crazy.
Oh
my goodness. Oh boy.
So Devin, what do you think about Is It Over Now?
This song is a bop.
Mm-hmm.
It is a certified bop, if you will. The first listen, though, I was kind of like, huh, all right, interesting.
Yeah.
Actually, all of the vault tracks on the first listen, I was like, huh. And I was a little, you know, a little underwhelmed because Taylor had said that these were like the most slapping vault tracks that she's ever made.
Mm.
And she was so excited for us to have these vault tracks. And I was like, okay. But after every listen since, it has gotten better and better every time I listen to it. And I have now listened to it a whole lot.
I was like, you're going to like this one. Just keep listening to it.
Yeah. Yeah. So it has become, I think, my favorite vault track on this one. It fits perfectly into the theme of 1989 with those amazing synths and that groove.
Yeah.
But it also does have elements of Midnights, especially with like the weird, wacky vocals at the beginning. Again, that Jack, for some reason, just likes to add in now, like the whoop, whoop. And apparently it's the words, is it? Is it?
Oh, really?
It's like this really weird, his voice just totally distorted. It reminds me a lot of Labyrinth from the beginning of Labyrinth.
That's what Britney said, too.
Yeah, it's those, the you know, like those weird things that he is really enjoying doing.
I didn't really hear that, but yeah, Britney heard that, too.
Yeah, that beginning is very Labyrinth-esque.
Mm.
I love the low synth that permeates this song. It is just so pleasing and warm.
Mm.
And it reminds me a lot when we saw Bleachers at Radio City when he was talking about his song Roller Coaster for Bleachers and how it started off with that low rumbling synth. And it just like, it's warmth and inviting, and but also sad and all of that. And then when you take it away, like anxiety just starts flooding through your brain, and then it comes back and it soothes you.
Yeah.
And so like the beginning of this song is just like so like,
yeah,
it's just like so warm and soothing.
Yeah, I've heard people talk about how this song, it really reminds them of a Bleachers song.
Mm-hmm.
And if you guys are interested in that speech of Jack's from the live show, they actually recorded and released the Radio City show Devin and I were at, and it's on Spotify, and it's the Roller Coaster number, right?
Yeah.
So if you go to the Bleachers live album at Radio City, you can hear him talk about this note that Devin's talking about, and he explains it in a way that you can actually kind of understand the way Devin's brain works.
And how Jack's brain works.
Yeah. When he hears production, it's really cool. It helped me understand it way more.
It's,
so highly recommend.
Super cool. And and we'll share that on Instagram too, that song. It's just like, it's so cool. And I, you know, he has this high synth too happening in the beginning there that kind of sounds like a clave, which are those two, like that bink, 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 that you might hear on, say, like the opening of In the Heights, the bink, bink,
yeah,
bink.
Yeah.
Those are called claves. And it kind of sounds like a twinkle. So it's got like this really, really low, low synth, but then you have like this twinkle over it. Then you have all the weird like vocaling that's mm-hmm. happening on like those wacky vocals. But then Taylor's voice just comes in and it cuts through all of it. And it's that smoky speaking range mm-hmm. vocal that I love, that midnight smoky. It's just so good. And you have those uh-huhs, which are... Mm-hmm. amazing. I love an uh-huh.
You do.
Like, so good. And then when she first sang, and when I heard this the first time, the let's fast forward to 300 takeout coffees later, lost my mind.
Yeah, yeah.
It is so good. The groove, mm-hmm. it comes in, and you just get, like, this fantastic, like, line, and that whole, like, pre-chorus is so good. And then... the production goes even further once it hits the chorus. Mm-hmm. And when you get to the, was it over? And like the production picks up even more mm-hmm. and it's just like so good. And then I'm like, not kidding. The melody and the rhythm of come here, I whispered in your ear in your dream as you passed out is.
Yeah. Amazing. Yeah.
Everything.
Yeah.
It is everything. It is so good.
Yeah.
So phenomenally written. The rhythm is unbelievable. I mean, literally, so, like, you guys, I get chills yeah. every time I listen to it because the sonic, like, how it sounds to me, just unbelievable.
Yeah.
Jack's building of songs is always a masterclass in audio production.
Yeah.
Every sound on this song is, like, meticulously placed and planned. And, like, whatever synths he uses, those samples that he uses, like, this whole song is just yeah. a feast for the ears. Mm-hmm. It's very Out of the Woods-esque. Like, I love these songs where there's just so much, like wild, like, stuff happening in the background. But, like, it complements the lyric so well.
Yeah.
And it also allows for the lyric to really push through when it really needs to. So, like, his production doesn't pick up and go crazy when she's singing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
During the verses, like, that production cuts out and it's just her vocals and it's just the lyric.
Yeah.
But you get to the chorus and you get just like the crazy burst of, you know, serotonin as that beat hits
yeah.
in, and it's just like so, so good. And then there's the moments between the verses where you really get to hear the production and you really get to hear all of, like, the cool stuff in mm-hmm. it, especially like the outro too. The outro is so, so good. I love the lyrics of this song too. Like, there are so many heavy hitters mm-hmm. that if she's got blue eyes, I would surmise that you'd probably date her.
Yep.
Is one of the best. Mm-hmm. Rhyming eyes with a surmise is just unreal.
Yeah.
So, so good. Like, this song is just so wild to listen to and has incredible replayability. Yes. I don't know if that's a word, but I think it is.
I think
and
so.
It totally makes sense that she is having this be her single for Taylor's version on the radios.
Yeah, that makes total sense.
Like, it's so good. It's so good.
Yeah.
Gab, what do you think of Is It Over Now?
This song also took a couple of listens to grow on me.
Mm.
But when it did, wow. Like, it clicked. And I was like, I love this song. Oh my God. I think for me, it's like, I could take or leave like the intro right in the beginning part of the song, which mm-hmm. I think part of why it was a grower. Every time when it first started, I wasn't sure which song it was of the Vault songs mm-hmm. at first. Mm-hmm. Because when you know, you don't always like, when you aren't used to the order of the songs, you're kind of listening and you're like, oh, which one is this?
Yeah.
But the second that the song hits the let's fast forward to 300 takeout coffees later, I'm in.
Yeah.
I was in.
Yeah.
Like, that melody paired with the lyrics and then, like, the different barbs at her ex that just keep coming and coming are absolutely fantastic. The scandalous lyrics in the chorus, the way that she sings the lyrics, like, the quality to her voice, the tone to her voice, the fast nature of the song, the way that you know the breakup was messy and confusing because she even has to ask, was it over then?
Yeah.
Was it over then?
Uh-huh.
Is it over now? Like, she has to ask all those things. So you're like, okay, this lingered on. This was a mess.
Uh-huh.
And then, for me, this was real, like, clincher where I was like, oh, this song is like a Gossip Gab.
Uh-huh.
Chef's kiss. When she gets to that second verse and it becomes clear
uh-huh.
who she's talking about
uh-huh.
with, you know, the red blood, white snow,
uh-huh.
and the blue dress on the boat, which Gossip Gab will explain later.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just immediately lost my mind and, like, fully fell in love with this song.
Oh.
Like, I love a song where Taylor gives us very, very clear images that we can trace back and know what she's talking
exactly
about. Exactly. I'm obsessed with that. Yeah. Like, just, I love it. I've seen other people say that this is the I Bet You Think About Me of 1989. Mm. And it's, you know, it's Taylor getting the last word in on this breakup and everything that she needed to say that she never did. Mm-hmm. And I really think that with the distance from 2014 and the original release of 1989, Taylor is even more willing to be sexy in her songs now than she wasn't then. Mm-hmm. And it really shows in these particular Vault songs, and especially with lyrics like, at least I had the decency to keep my nights out of sight, only rumors about my hips and my thighs and my whispered sighs. Mm-hmm. You know, like, there's a lot more maturity and sexiness to the song. She had started showing glimpses of that in 1989 on songs like Style and such, but just glimpses, mm-hmm. whereas these Vault songs really go for it.
Yeah.
And there might be reasons that some of those lyrics were left off. She mm-hmm. wasn't ready for that yet. But now, you know, she's a woman in her 30s and she sings lots of sexy songs. And obviously, you know, and she was in her mid-20s at the point that these songs were originally written.
Right.
You know, and so I really love that we're getting to see, like, the sexier side of this time in hindsight. And it's really seen in this song. I mean, when you hear that chorus and you're like, unbuttoned her blouse, yeah. What? Oh,
excuse me.
You're like, oh my.
Yeah.
It's a very exciting song. It's entertaining. It's tongue-in-cheek.
Yeah. What's the lyric? You keep searching another every maiden's bed.
And every maiden's bed or every model's bed. It's both, yeah. For something
she
greater.
She changes both of them.
She does both of them. Yeah.
Every, oh, God.
And I mean, she's yeah. really, she's really telling him. You know, I think this song is, it's just really, it's sexy and messy, and it's a really good pop song, and it just fits seamlessly into the 1989 vibe. Yeah. Like, especially even that part, like, just like, obviously, you know, this 1989 was when Jack and Taylor first, like, had their big, like, oh my God, we're working together, love affair of writing songs together, you
yeah.
know?
Yeah.
It wasn't the whole album, but there was a number of songs. Mm-hmm. And just even that, like, when she gets that big part, and is it over now? Mm-hmm. Is so out of the woods.
Yeah.
Which we'll get to in Gossip Gab, how she sees it as a sister song.
Yep.
But, like, yeah, like, it fits perfectly into that 1989.
It's absolutely a sister song.
Yeah.
For sure.
So I love this song.
And another quote from, well, it's a sort of quote, paraphrase quote from the Radio City show of Bleachers was that, like, Jack talks about how he just loves writing, like, sad songs that we can just, like, scream sing.
Yeah, and rock
like,
out
sad,
to. Yeah.
Sad bops, yeah. basically. And this is such a sad bop, too. Like, it's talking about all this messy, like,
yeah.
relationship stuff, but it is so boppy.
Yeah. And it's, like, a sad bop, but also an anger bop, too.
Yeah, anger bop.
Just getting it all
yeah,
out.
Yeah, yeah. And, like, I'm reclaiming myself bop. Like, it's so good.
Yeah.
It's so, so good.
I love it. Okay, Devin, uh-huh. Do you relate to Is It Over Now?
300 takeout coffees later. Totally, yeah. Totally relatable, guys. I don't know if I've talked about this on the podcast, but, like, I drink a lot of coffee.
A lot.
And it's not just any coffee. It's cold brew. I drink cold brew
black.
Any season. Yeah, black. I get, like, one in the morning, and then I drink it all day. I freaking love coffee. I will get a takeout coffee every single day of my life.
Yes, you do.
It is the small thing that I enjoy, and I take great pleasure in my takeout coffee.
Well, and also when takeout coffee is such a big, important part of your life, it also becomes a big, important part of your relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So even her putting that, like, in, like, the lyric, too, it's, like, mm-hmm. such a thing. Like, when Devin and I went to Europe for our honeymoon, takeout is not as big a thing there. Especially
no.
iced beverages.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of times it's like you sit down with your coffee. You don't take it out. It's not very common. It's not as much part of the culture. There are places. But it was just such a big difference for us because it's such a part of our relationship.
Yeah.
We take our beverages out and we walk.
Well, that's all. Yeah, that's the whole thing. Whenever we go for walks on anything, we always go and get a coffee first and then we take the walk.
Yeah.
Like, we always have to have a beverage with us.
Yeah. Well, now different now with Charlie the Heartbreak Prince.
Yeah, Charlie the Heartbreak Prince.
You need two
hands. Yeah. And whenever I go to work, I get you a takeout coffee. Like,
yeah.
It's a very big thing, I think, in relationships, mm-hmm. takeout coffee. And especially in our relationships. Like, that's very relatable.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, I mean, what? Fast forward to, like, 1,500,000 takeout coffees later in, like, 90 years. That'll probably be the end of, you know, who knows?
It's It's a lot of coffees.
A lot of coffee. I wish I could count how many takeout coffees I've had.
Yeah, we should try and calculate over the course of our relationship.
If we averaged, you know, like one a day for the past, you know, 8 years.
Yeah, but it's like not even one a day, but yeah.
Sometimes, yeah, so, well, it would average probably to one
so
a day.
So crazy.
Crazy. Yeah. Cav, do you relate?
I completely relate to the idea, not the idea, to a relationship that lingers long after it's over and not really knowing exactly when it's fully over. Mm-hmm. And it sucks. Mm-hmm. And it's that awful instinct of Taylor's with that lyric, "Oh, Lord, I think about jumping off of very tall somethings just to see you come running and say the thing I've been wanting, but no."
Yep.
You think about doing all sorts of desperate things to get that person's attention and get them to want you back and get back together with you, but ultimately, like, you know that's the wrong instinct and mm-hmm. it's not the right thing, but it, like, it makes you kind of just, like, want to act out or feel like, is this over? Should I still want this? Do I not want this? It's the worst state to be in a relationship.
Yeah.
It's better for your sanity to cut it off if you can.
Yeah, for real.
Like, if it's going on, think about, why is it going on? If this person wanted to be with me, they'd be with me. That's really what it is. Sometimes, yeah, maybe it's circumstantial, long distance. Cut it off if it's long distance. If you're meant to be together, live your life, see what happens, yeah. You know? I do not recommend that, like, slow, lingering kind of yeah, relationship kind of not to anyone.
Is it over now? Is it over now? Is it over now?
Yeah. Yeah. It's brutal. And if you're someone who, like, you're kind of not together with someone, but then you pop back in their life to just chat with them, and you're the one doing that, don't do it. Don't rely on someone emotionally when you don't actually want to be with them in a relationship. It's not nice or
it's
fair
not
to
nice.
Them.
Yeah, especially if they haven't moved on.
Get a therapist, get counseling, talk to your friends. Like, you don't need that person to be your emotional support if you don't want to be with them. It's not fair. So I relate to that being in that state. Thank God it was a long time ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, now we get to the segment of Gossip.
This is such a fun Gossip Gab song.
Ooh, okay.
Just a lot to sink your teeth into.
Love it.
When discussing the vault tracks about this song, Taylor said, "Is It Over Now was a song I wanted to end the album with because I think it's kind of a funny play on words of, like, is the album over now? And I always saw this song as a sort of sister song to Out of the Woods and I Wish
yes.
You Would."
Yeah, all mm-hmm. three of them are in the same vein for
yes,
sure.
Yes, definitely. Given that quote, especially referencing Out of the Woods and some specific lyrics, which I will talk about shortly, I believe this song is about Harry Styles and Taylor's relationship.
No. No.
No.
How could it be?
The lyric, "When you lost control, red blood, white snow," very likely alludes to the snowmobile accident that Taylor and Harry got into, made famous of the bridge in Out of the Woods. Remember when you hit the brakes too soon, 20 stitches in a hospital
mm-hmm,
room.
Mm-hmm.
The lyric, "Blue dress on a boat," references a famous paparazzi photo of Taylor sitting alone on a boat in a blue dress after she and Harry reportedly broke up while on vacation in the Virgin Islands over the New Year's holiday. The image captures Taylor returning early from the trip without Harry.
Yeah. Oof.
Yes. The lyric, "Your new girl is my clone." Some fans believe this may be a reference to either Kimberly Stewart or Paige Riefler, whom Harry dated after Taylor. They both resemble her in different ways. Then in Harry's first album, there's a lyric on the song "From the Dining Table" that goes, "Woke up the girl who looked just like you. I almost said your name."
Whoa.
Yeah.
Ooh.
It's not confirmed that that's about Taylor, well, but it is kind of interesting,
that's,
right?
Yeah,
kind
spicy.
Of juicy. Some people think it's about her. I don't know. I'm not, like, deep into the Harry lore, but it is spicy. Then the lyric, "Did you think I didn't see you? There were flashing lights," may reference the paparazzi attention that Styles received in the messy aftermath that was the not-so-clear-cut end of their relationship.
Right.
We don't really know when it ended, if it ended with the boat, if it didn't. This song makes us think maybe not.
Yeah.
You know, he had a lot of partying wild different nights and lots of paparazzi things caught on camera type stuff.
Yeah.
And it seems from the lyrics that Taylor saw pictures of him with a girl, and maybe it wasn't done, and that she kept her stuff more private, is what it kind of seems like from the song.
Yep.
Not that they both weren't with others or not. It's messy. Listen to our style episode as well.
Ooh, for that. And our Out of the Woods episode.
And our Out of the Woods episode. Some feel that the lyric in the beginning, "Once the flight had flown," could be a reference to the paper airplane necklace that Taylor wore while dating Harry.
And actually, just now that I said, "Are we out of the woods yet?" and how that song is so anxiety ridden as well, of her questioning constantly, like, is it, you know, are we done? Are we out of the woods yet? Is this still happening? Are we back together? Are we through the worst of it?
Yeah.
And then now she's questioning, is it over now? Is it over now? Is it over now? So do you think she was going back and forth between, are we out of the woods? Is it over? Are we out of the woods? Is it over?
Yeah, and then there's some quotes when they were kind of recently broken up, whatever, where she talks about how, like, there was always anxiety in that relationship. Yeah. Because if you'll remember from our I Knew You Were Trouble episode, that they had originally dated before they were publicly seen dating. They'd originally dated, and then he was seen, like, kind of greeting, kissing a friend or a fan that they were not known to be dating, him and Taylor, but they maybe were, that whole messiness. And he told Taylor, and so they weren't together. And then he, like, kind of begged her and worked his way back to her. And then they got back together. And then when after they broke up and this whole boat picture came out, after all that, Taylor tweeted, "Till you put me down," leading us all to believe that "I Knew Your Trouble" was about Harry all along. That whole thing. So listen to that episode for some clear research on what I just said with names and things like that and dates. But that idea as well, that, like, there were pieces of this relationship. So she was always kind of anxious about, when's the other shoe going to drop? Is this going to be a thing? Yeah. And then some of these other Vault songs, which we'll be getting to in the coming weeks, I believe there are hints of Harry stuff in them as well. So that also leads to...
What a great time to be revisiting all of this.
Oh, I love it. It's my favorite. It's, like, the most fun of the relationships.
Of the relationships,
And then the marker of 300 takeout coffees. If you averaged it to about one a day for one person, give or take, it brings you to about 10 months. AKA, 10 months sober, I must admit, now that I'm clean, don't mean I don't miss it. 1989 is the Harry Styles album.
Yes.
And I stand by that. I agree. Stand by the entire album.
I agree. It is the Harry Styles
album. She lost
album.
Him, but she found herself, and somehow that was everything.
And, wow, 10 months sober.
Yeah, from 300 coffees. No, but, like, from him, from love. That song is not about coffee. It's about sober from love.
Oh, no, that wouldn't make sense anyway, because if you're having 300 coffees over that 10 months, you're drinking the coffees. You're not sober from coffee.
No, you're still drinking the coffees. But, like, let's fast forward 300 coffees later. Like,
yeah, boom.
You know, like, that's then she's clean.
And 300 and she can write the song. Blind dates later.
Yeah, which I'm like, she did not have awkward blind dates. Taylor Swift does not have blind dates. But, like, also, can I go on one of those if she's having awkward blind dates? Like, come on.
Right? Maybe the person that she's going on the date with, she's going in blind. Could you imagine showing up to a blind date and it's Taylor Swift?
No, I doubt that, though. Like, there's got to be so much security vetted. There's no way. Like, Taylor Swift has not been on a blind date. Like, maybe, like, they haven't met before, but it's not, like, a blind date. Like, where, like, she's never, like...
Yeah.
Maybe she hasn't seen their picture, but she knows, like, who they are. Like, it'd be a security risk.
Yeah, otherwise. Of course. Yeah.
You know?
Just, like, you show up at a coffee shop, and it's like... You're looking around and you're like, are you Taylor?
Like, she was still too big even in, like, 2013.
Yeah.
To go on a blind date.
Yeah.
There's, like, there's just no way. Are you Taylor?
Hi. Taylor?
I do. I really, this is the Harry album.
Yes.
I stand by it. I love it. I just, it makes me so happy. And there's also something about, too, this phase of her life and her, like, also, like, kind of writing about his faults and at this time that doesn't feel like the same way as some of the other exes, where I kind of feel like Harry would stand by the fact that, like, maybe I was wild, I was a shit then, or something like that. Yeah. You know, I don't...
I mean, they were both really
young. I feel like he's
grown
up a lot. Yeah, they were.
Yeah.
Like, really young.
And they were both... And, like, his fame was relatively new, right, at that point?
Yeah, he was, like, basically
like, One Direction happened, and he just exploded, you know? Yeah. And, like he was nobody before One Direction, before the X Factor, right? So it's, like...
Yeah, to go from just being a regular person to,
so,
like
over the
superstar.
Course of a couple of years, he was a superstar. Yeah. And, I mean...
And he was, like, really, like, that, the front boy.
Yes.
Yeah. Of One Direction.
So, like, that had to have been difficult in itself, you know, and traversing that along with, trying to date one of the biggest superstars in the world. Like,
well, multiple. I mean, like, Taylor was the biggest, but yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then all the...
I mean, now Harry is absolutely one of the biggest superstars in the world himself.
Yeah.
But then he wasn't.
Yeah, and I mean, listening to all these Vault songs, now we're all like, okay, we get it. This is why he couldn't have been featured.
We get it.
But this is my dream, okay? Hear me out. When Harry and Taylor are, like, in their, like, 50s or 60s, okay? Because, like, you know, like, everything that's going on now with, like, more retrospective stuff with, like, the Beatles and things like that. So when they're in their, like, 50s or 60s, they're still making music. They're still huge stars and stuff, and people love them. But they're, like, going for different ideas creatively, or they're releasing anniversary albums and things like that. They will release some kind of, like, collaboration together, or they'll both sing on style, like, a live thing or something.
Or they'll go on tour together.
There will be something that will finally get that.
Yeah.
But it's going to be down the line, way down the line when they can look back on it and laugh.
Yeah.
Because they're both so big, and that one day it'll be like, you see all these super groups, or not even super groups, but, like, huge stars pop up where they play together in different ways.
Yeah.
With their peers. Yeah. Like, one day that will happen. It's just... We're not there yet. Yeah. They're just too much in the height of their career still.
Yeah.
And I do see it eventually down the line. I had this vision.
Oh, yeah,
mark
for
my
sure.
words, guys. Tastradamus. I know.
Tastradamus in the house.
Tastradamus in the house. But yeah, it's just like the most fun relationship. And it also feels like a relationship that though they were both hurt by it in a lot of ways, I feel like they also were both... like, learned a ton by it. It was really fun. It was spicy.
For sure.
You know, it was exciting for them. And, like, I feel like they both also knew, no matter what, from the beginning, like, it could never be them together.
Yeah.
Like, they almost went in that way.
Yeah.
And so that, like, I don't know. I just kind of see it as, like, though there's definitely, like, hurt and pain there, it's not... It didn't damage her the same way as other ones did, which makes it a lot more fun.
Right.
Of a heartbreak album.
Right.
Yeah. And there was so much adult growth. Like, this was really, like, her big, like, I don't know, true I became an adult album.
And
like, she lived on her own for the first time.
So many bops.
Yeah. So good. I love this song a lot.
Yeah. I mean, like, we've talked about it before that this album itself, I think, is the most accessible to the widest range of people.
Yeah.
And these Vault songs, I think, fall right in there. I mean, I think some of the Speak Now Vault songs are like that, but Electric Touch.
Honestly, though, like, every time a new Vault, like, selection of Vault songs comes out, I'm always like, like, I really like those Vault songs. Really, and then the next one comes out, and I'm like, I really like those. So I'm like, they all grow on me pretty, like,
yeah,
fast.
We're going to have to do another Vault track ranking sort of situation
bracket. Know, they have a sorter that's just the Vault songs that I was doing on the train the other day.
Oh, boy.
So I think we got to maybe
the
work
last
on that.
Bracket that we did that was only Fearless and Red was Mr. Perfectly Fine was the winner.
Yeah, and so, all 10-minute version was excluded.
Was excluded, of course, because
Doesn't get to be part of the bracket.
So now we've got Speak Now and 1989. We might have to do another bracket.
It's pretty exciting. Okay, Devin, what's your favorite line, and is it over now?
Let's fast forward to 300 awkward blind dates later.
It's so good.
I love takeout coffees later, but awkward blind dates later is just chef's kiss. It's just so good. And like you said, there's absolutely no way that Taylor went on even one awkward blind date after
she
would
have gone on an awkward date.
Awkward date, for sure. But blind date,
Once you get
300,
there.
300? No. So I feel like out of this whole song, I feel like that line is fibbage.
Fibbage.
But it is also my favorite line in the whole song. And so, like, of course, that
so
is.
Good.
I mean... But also in the chorus, the come here, I whispered in your ear, like, is just
it's so good.
The rhythm of it makes me like every time.
Yeah, it's so like good. It's really good.
Gab, what is your favorite line?
I love if she's got blue eyes, I will surmise that you'll probably date her. Love. I've been singing it all week.
So good.
Like, all week. So just, like, good. Using the word surmise and also the melody of it. Mm-hmm. And also just the idea of that, too. Like, if she's got blue eyes, I will surmise you'll probably date her. And then I was, like, Googling things, and I'm like, oh, Olivia Wilde, blue eyes. Mm-hmm. And, like, I was just like, oh, okay, lots of boys. Not only, he's seen a lot of women with brown eyes as well. I'm sure probably some green eyes. I couldn't think of any.
He loves the blue Google eyes.
But I thought that was great. And I loved, like, there are a bunch of people on the internet being like, so you're saying I got a chance with the blue eyes. Just, like, really calling him out. I will surmise you'll probably date her. Like,
yep.
I'm your type. And, yep. like, that he did. Like, I that's such an interesting thing. I've never had that experience. But to have someone who, like, after you date someone that looks like a clone of you, is fascinating. Yeah, so that's, like... It's really interesting mm-hmm. and really funny. And then also her calling him out on models. And I'm sure he's dated a ton of models. But also just, like, knowing how many models he's, like, kissed. But then you just think about it. It's, like, it's Harry Styles. So it's, like
yeah.
who's he going to date?
Yeah.
And even, like, the line where she talks about him being, like, charming to the waitress and stuff. And I'm like, could you imagine?
Oh, my God. Yeah, it's, like, me, but, like, tenfold.
It's true.
You know, like, yeah, mm-hmm. like I'm nice to the waitresses, and especially if they're little old ladies, like the charm that I throw out at little old ladies is wild.
I'm glad that blue eyes isn't your type.
No.
Thank God.
Thank God.
If she's got green eyes, I will surmise.
Someone who I worked with. So at work, there's a couple of Swifties at my work, and one of them was like, do you think Taylor is, like, really cute and hot? And I was like, Taylor's not really my type. And another girl was like, oh, what is your type? And then the other girl goes, I bet Gab is his type. And I said, yeah, Gab's my type. Taylor's just not my type.
That's really sweet, really cute. I mean, like, she's objectively hot.
Well,
she's
sure. Not your type. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, from 1 to 10, takeout coffees. Short week, slow week. From 1 to 10 takeout coffees, what do you give? Is it over now?
Oh, God. So my heart is telling me one thing and my brain is telling me another thing.
This is our podcast. You obviously follow your heart.
Obviously. So so I'd say that it is almost on par with Out of the Woods, but it's below Out of the Woods for me. Mm-hmm. Out of the Woods, obviously 10 out of 10, mm-hmm. like no question. So I want to give this a 10, mm-hmm. but... it's not fully a 10, I don't mm-hmm, think. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to give it a 9. I would give it a 9.5 if we were doing halves. But I'm going to give it a 9, takeout coffees, because it is just so freaking good, but it is not as good as some of those other songs on the original mm-hmm, album. Mm-hmm. Out of the Woods, Style, Clean, How You Get the Girl, like those are all 10s.
Yeah, yeah.
So like this is definitely a boppy bop, 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 bop,
yeah.
bop. But I still don't think it hits that level.
Yeah.
So I give it 9. Gab, from 1 to 10, takeout coffees. What do you give the song?
I actually completely agree with you.
Whoa.
Yeah, and I give it 9 takeout coffees.
Wow.
I really like it a lot. I think that there are a couple elements of Midnightsy production that I think take away from making it the ultimate bop that yes. would make it a 10.
I agree.
And I like a lot of the Midnightsy production stuff on Midnights.
Yes.
And so I think that that's part of that stuff takes a little bit away from making it a 10. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But I really love this song a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So it's 9 takeout coffees.
All right.
Yeah. Listen along with us. You can check us out on Instagram at Tay2Z Podcast and give us all your thoughts. What did we miss in terms of the hairy lyrical clues?
Yeah.
Do you relate to this song?
Do you not like this song at all?
Is this your favorite of the Vault songs?
Yeah.
Or not?
Or not.
Let us know all your thoughts. And remember, you can find exclusive bonus content on our Patreon at patreon.com/TayToZPodcast.
Yes, and thank you as always to our patrons. You are the absolute best. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, next episode, we'll be covering, Tell Me Why from Fearless, Taylor's version.
It's been a minute since we've had a Fearless
song. Yeah.
Come hang with us.
I'm Devin.
And I'm Gab.
This has been Tay2Z.
Thanks for listening. See you next time.